You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
The IP Zone is brought to you by Spoor & Fisher, because every pioneer needs a partner.
At Spoor & Fisher, we understand the value of innovation and the sinister threats of your ideas being stolen.
Spoor & Fisher specializes in IP law. Our experienced team of specialists will do everything to protect what's yours.
When concept becomes reality, we are there to lock it down.
Create it. Own it.
Choose Spoor & Fisher to secure your intellectual property.
It's time for the IP Zone, and with us in the studio, Professor John McKnight from Spoor & Fisher, and with him, Salome LaRue. Is that right?
Yes.
Have I got that right? Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, Salome. Okay. All right. So let's put it out there. You've never done this on a live radio before. You've done telephone interviews, but this is the first time in the studio. Relax. You're going to be fine. Okay.
Thank you.
And with us, Professor John McKnight, who you all know already. Oh. All right. So, but in your official capacity as a professor of law and a partner at Spoor & Fisher, you've decided to tackle an introduction to trademark law this afternoon, and you have brought Spoor & Fisher's expert in with you, basically.
That's right, yes.
So I'm going to just sit back here and listen. And make sure you behave yourself.
Okay.
And treat her nice.
Always.
Okay. And you can talk about trademark law, which I think affects everybody at some level.
Yeah.
All right.
Very much so.
All yours.
All good.
Yes.
Well, first of all, I'd like to welcome Salome to the studio. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
So just give a brief introduction to Salome. Salome is a senior associate with Spoor & Fisher. She joined us a couple of years ago, but she's been in practice for quite some time. She's a registered trademark attorney, which means you've passed the exams as levied by the Institute, and you've been in practice for 14 years. Okay. And you practice almost exclusively trademarks, and in trademarks you do applications, and then you also litigate on trademarks for our clients. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So, as listeners will recall that when we've spoken about intellectual property previously, I mentioned that it's kind of composed of, if intellectual property is the genus, then we've got the big five species, which are patents, trademarks, designs, copyright, and then trade secrets. We have spoken about patents, but today we're going to talk about trademarks per se, a species of intellectual property, and a very common species of intellectual property. So, Salome, let me give you a softball question first. What is a trademark?
So, a trademark is anything, any sign or mark that you use to distinguish your product or your service from the same type of product or service of another trader.
Okay.
So that can be a name, it's usually a brand name, or it can be a logo, it can be a slogan, it can even be a container or the shape of the product itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be anything, as long as it can be represented graphically, anything that is used to distinguish the product of one trader from that of another.
Okay, so that could be anything from Zone Radio to Coca-Cola to Lindt chocolates to all of
to the shape of the Lindt bunny.
Ah, of course, the shape of the Lindt bunny. Yes, that's right. Okay, so how does a trademark add value to a business?
The trademark is probably one of the most valuable assets of a business.
Mm-hmm.
Any business has a trademark. You have a name. You always have a name. So that is one of the biggest assets of the business. It's obviously, if you register your trademark, you have an exclusive right to use that trademark, which means you can stop others from using that same trademark or even a confusingly similar trademark. So that gives you a good weapon to protect your brand and your reputation. And it's also a valuable asset that you can license. So you can license it out. You can have a franchise if that's the type of business, and you can get royalties for it. So that's a tool that you can use to generate income. And if you sell the business, then that is actually a big part of the value of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And it also gives you the right to use the trademark. So if someone else wants to stop you from using a trademark, if you've registered it, you have something that you can say, but I've registered it, it belongs to me, I have a right to use it. And then they won't be able to stop you from using it.
Okay. So it's basically a significant asset of the business.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
More so than the computers or the cars or the desks.
It is. In recent years, that has become the biggest portion of businesses' assets.
Yeah. Okay. And so how do you go about getting a trademark?
So you have to register a trademark to say that you own it. Mm-hmm. So if you want to have a property right in your trademark, you have to register it. You file the trademark application with CIPC in South Africa, the company, the Intellectual Property Commission. And then the trademarks office will look at the trademark. They will see if it complies with the conditions. And if there is, they'll check if there's already a similar trademark registered. And if there's no problems, then your trademark will be published and other people will have an opportunity to object to it if they want to. Mm-hmm. And if there's no objections, then your trademark will be registered. You get a trademark registration that is valid for 10 years.
Okay.
And you can have that trademark for an indefinite period as long as you renew it every 10 years.
Okay. So unlike patents, which expire after 20 years, trademarks can actually last indefinitely as long as you pay the renewal fee, which is only due once every 10 years.
Only once every 10 years. So a trademark can exist in perpetuity.
And we've got trademarks on our register which have been there for 100 years or so.
Yes, is
that
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that annuity that we spoke about, which is payable every 10 years or so, how much is that approximately? It's not a lot of money.
No, it's not a lot of money. It's, I think it comes down to, it's probably less than 3,000 rand, a trademark.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a lot like, you know, your car is an asset and you have to pay every year a license fee to be able to drive it on our roads, et cetera, et cetera. And a trademark is an asset and it's just like that. You just have to pay, but it's only every 10 years to be able to have exclusive rights to use it.
Yes. So you just pay the fee to say that I'm still using it, I still want to own it, and it's still my trademark, and then you have another 10 years.
Okay. Now, you said that you file your application with CIPC, which, of course, the company is an intellectual property commission that's based in Pretoria, and people can do that themselves. They can use any attorney, and they can also use IP specialist's attorney. Isn't that right?
Yes. Yes.
Now, we would obviously say that it's a good idea to use an IP specialist attorney. Why would that be? It's a bit of a tricky process, isn't it?
So, yes, it can be a tricky process. And there's a lot of stages in the process where it's quite beneficial to have legal advice. The first step in the process is we usually advise clients to do a search mm-hmm. before they file the trademark. Because the trademark, there's a lot of reasons for that. First of all, you want to know if you're going to be infringing on someone's right before you start using a trademark. Secondly, you want to know if you are going to be able to secure registered rights in that trademark. And the registration process can take quite a while. It mm-hmm. takes up to 2 years or even longer from when you filed your trademark until it is registered. So if you want to start using your trademark and if you want to start spending money on developing a logo and printing marketing material and all of that, then you want to have a good idea of whether the trademark is going to be available for you to register and to use. So that's the first step, is to get a trademark attorney who has experience in registering trademarks, to check the trademark register if there's anything similar or anything that could cause a problem for you. Mm-hmm. Then, obviously, once the trademark is examined, there's some conditions that you need to comply with, and that is also very useful to have an attorney who can assist you with that process. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It just makes the process so much smoother, and then you know that it is being done right and you will actually get that right. And we see that a lot of people file their trademark application, but they never see it through the whole process. Mm-hmm. And then they believe that they have a right, but they don't. And then once they want to enforce it, then they actually don't have something to fall back on.
Okay.
So
yeah.
It is good to have someone to who can guide you through the whole process.
Yeah. Money well spent. Yeah. Get what you pay for.
Yes.
Speaking of which, how much would a trademark application typically cost? And you've touched on it, but how long would it take, generally speaking, on average?
So the cost of a trademark registration, it depends on what you're filing. So every trademark has to be filed in a class depending on the goods or services that it's being registered for. Mm-hmm. There's an official list of 45 classes. And in South Africa, one trademark in one class is one application. So you will pay a fee per class or per trademark per class. And so if you... it depends also, obviously, from which attorneys you're using, but you're looking at more or less about, let's say, 5,000-6,000 rand mm-hmm. for one trademark in one class.
Okay.
So that is That is money well spent,
yes.
Definitely,
yes.
Because that is going to, you know, give you, make sure that you're filing in the right class, you and that you have your trademark registration, and that you can use that if you need to enforce your trademark. Where if you don't register your trademark, I know that we're going to talk about that a little bit more.
Yes.
Then it is quite, it can be quite more expensive to actually enforce your rights.
Okay. So if we just talk about Zone Radio, for example, our listeners will be familiar. We've got that very cool logo, which has got Zone Radio. We've got some colors. So if we were looking to protect that, we'd be probably doing two marks, one for the logo, which is the graphical representation of Zone Radio, and then one for just the word Zone Radio. Is that correct? So it would be two separate applications to protect our mark. Is that typically how you would advise to go?
Yes. So you could register the name. That would be the first priority. And we typically file that just in block letters,
mm-hmm.
and that gives you rights to that name regardless of the logo, stylized font that it's used in, and that is for the name Zone. And then your logo, which you use in this, that specific stylization, you would file that. You can either file that in black and white, and that would give you rights to all the color,
mm-hmm.
or if the color is something specifically you want to protect, then you can also file that in color.
Okay.
So yes, you would typically file about two applications, and then you would file it in the class for entertainment,
mm-hmm.
and offering radio services. If you were to sell clothing or other similar merchandise, then you might want to file it in an additional class for that merchandise.
Because that class wouldn't cover entertainment and broadcasting.
Yes.
It would be clothing and apparel, which is a different
class.
One of those 45 classes you mentioned.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. Now, here we come to the question. What happens if a business has been using their mark, be it their name and or a logo, and they've chosen or just for whatever reason have never registered the mark, and then lo and behold, somebody pops up and is operating in the same space, the same sort of class as them, and using the same name or a name that is confusingly similar. But the business never filed for their trademark application. So at best, they would have unregistered rights. How would that work in practice? And how would you take that forward if you were the business owner and wanted this other business, this startup, to not use a name that was similar to yours?
So if you don't have a trademark registration, you can always fall back on your common law rights.
Okay.
And that is the common law remedy is called passing off.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a form of unlawful competition, and it's been in our law for many years.
Okay.
So for that, we are not necessarily looking at a proprietary right, so you can't really own an unregistered trademark, but we look at the goodwill in the business.
Mm-hmm.
So you can rely on the goodwill of your business and the reputation that you've built up in a trademark.
Okay.
So if someone can show that they've used a trademark for a significant period of time,
mm-hmm.
and they have a significant amount of customers, and they have a substantial business, and they've built up a reputation in that trademark, then they can institute passing off proceedings. And to succeed with that, you need to show the reputation, and then you also need to show that the other person using the trademark is going to cause confusion or a deception in the marketplace. So typically, that trademark needs to be similar to the one that you've been using, and it needs to be used for a similar product or service. So in those situations, you are likely to succeed with passing off, but it is it's a little bit more intricate, and
mm-hmm.
it's a lot more evidence that you need to show.
Yeah,
you need to show that, you know, how you've been using it, how you've been marketing it, how long you've been using it, how many people know the trademark. So there's a few more hoops to jump through. But it is there, and you can use it. So someone else can't just start using a trademark of another business
that they've been using.
Yes.
Okay. So if you haven't registered your business name or your product name, all is not lost, but it is definitely advisable to file for a trademark if you've been using it for a long time and you've established some reputation and you feel that there's a danger that somebody could be infringing or treading on your toes.
Yes, it's definitely It's definitely better to file your trademark application as soon as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can, even if it's just for one of your trademarks,
yeah.
Because that's going to make your life much more easier if you need to enforce it.
Mm-hmm.
But it, all is not lost. As you say, if you have been trading for some time and you just never got around to it, or you didn't know about it, and you need to enforce it, there are steps that you can take.
Fantastic.
It is just a little bit more complicated.
I have a question.
Go for it.
I hope I'm not preempting something you were going to say.
No.
So now you've got a business with a trademark that has been trading for, say, 30 years, whatever the case may be. Now you get a Johnny-come-lately who comes along and starts to trade under a same name or causes that kind of confusion. What happens if that person rushes off to you and says, I want to register this trademark, regardless of the fact that these people have been using it for 30 years? Is there protection for that person who's been using the thing for 30 years, or can somebody go over the top of them and register that trademark?
Yeah, so we see that situation actually quite often, and fortunately there is protection for the person who first started using the trademark. So you can object to the trademark. So you'll remember I mentioned there was a part in the process where third parties can object to trademark. And at that stage, so we call that the opposition period, then someone can come and object and say, I have been using it. Then you need to go through more or less the same process. You need to show you had a reputation, you've started using it before, and then you can object to that trademark being registered. And then if you're successful, that trademark won't be registered.
And who makes that decision?
So it depends where it ends up, but it would be either the Registrar of Trademarks or the court, a judge of the High Court.
Okay.
There we go. Answers my question.
Great stuff. So just to
answer, just by the way, a whole host of questions that Judy has asked already.
Oh, really?
So yeah, she's been on there. No, she's answered all of these. Okay, so she's answered my question. Okay, so she's answered my question. So I don't even have to ask him. Okay.
All right. So I think just to end off, as we were chatting before we came in, you mentioned that there was an interesting case between Pick n Pay and Checkers that maybe we just to give a little example of a typical trademarks kind of conflict. Right here in the Valley, we've got a Pick n Pay and a Checkers right next door to each other. So sort of 2-3 minutes, what happened there? How did that go down and what happened in the end?
So this is it's not about a brand name, actually. This this was a conflict that was more about the get up and the look and feel of the packaging.
Okay.
So Checkers had a range of product called
Feast or something along those lines. Yeah.
And they had a very signature get up. So the packaging had a signature color, was navy and gold, and they had a specific design of the images on the packaging, and it was a luxury range of deli type of product,
right? Yeah, yeah.
And it was unique to ShopRite, but the ShopRite brand was nowhere on the packaging. Mm-hmm. It was Feast. Forage and Feast.
Forage and Feast.
So they spent a lot of money on marketing this range. And
as a sort of premium foods range.
Yes, it was a very premium luxury, and it also had a luxury look and feel as well. And they spent a lot of money on it, and it became a very popular range. Then Pick n Pay, they had a similar range called Crafted Collection, and they brought it out with a very similar look and feel, same color combinations, similar images, and it was also the same type of product. And the court looked at the advertising of ShopRite, of their product, and how consistently they use the same features. And the court said that they've definitely built up a reputation in the look and feel and the get up of their product. And they said that even though these products were only found in the specific stores, because the Checkers range, the Checkers trademark was never on that range. So it wasn't tied necessarily to the Checkers brand, and it was a very recognizable look and feel. So people could still assume that the products that were in Pick and Pay were somehow related or came from the same source.
Right.
And just based on that, the court said that that Pick and Pay has to change their packaging.
Okay. So.
And that was based on passing off. Yeah. So that was the case was based on passing off. So. Checkers had to show that they had to have a reputation, and they had to show that there was a likelihood of confusion. So this didn't even involve brand name, but the court said yes, that it was passing off, and that Pick and Pay had to change their packaging.
And Pick and Pay have done that, and they've changed the look and feel and get up of their luxury foods.
I believe so. Okay. So the judgment was in the High Court, so right. Pick and Pay can still challenge that to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if they've done that.
Okay, because this is a pretty recent judgment, isn't it?
It's a pretty recent judgment, yeah.
So
I'm not sure if they've taken it to the Supreme Court, but they can. So I'm also not sure if they've changed it yet, but it was a High Court judgment.
But that's the current finding.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Thank you, Salome. That was really, really good.
Thank you very much.
Very, very interesting.
I thought so too. but it illustrates, John and Salome, it illustrates how little we know about protecting ourselves.
Mm.
So there are businesses out there, and we're not talking about huge amounts of money. If somebody comes along to you, they've got a small business, they say, look, I've got this name or colors or whatever, it's not going to cost them hundreds of thousands of rands as a patent would.
Yeah, okay. A patent is very expensive, yeah.
They can come along and can sit with you at your offices and say, listen, I'm starting a little company. I'm calling it XYZ. I'm going to make the X look like this, the Y this, and the Z in this color, and I'm going to call this whatever. And I'd want to be sure that if this takes off, okay, to something big, that nobody else can copy me and try and usurp what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Small businesses can afford that. Small businesses can protect themselves, because very often what happens is the small business comes up with a great idea, and there is a retail chain in this country, No Names, No Pactrol, who tend to do that. They look at what a small business is doing, then they produce a similar type of thing, and they put it out in their stores, and they undermine the small business.
Yeah.
Or the small business takes their product to them for retail listing, and then they see the idea, and they try and do a similar thing. And that small business ends up, you know, basically on the back foot, because now they've got this litigation that's more expensive and. So it is a wise thing to even just phone you and say, listen, this is what I'm going to do. Do I need to do this?
Yes,
okay.
Definitely.
All right. The next question is, how do they contact you?
I think it's definitely one of the first things that small businesses should look at, and in the great scheme of things, that's a very small cost to register your trademark. And if the business is just starting up, what we often do is we look at everything that they can protect, and we try and prioritize so that you at least have something to start off with. And what is the most important? So, yes, they can obviously contact us. Our details is on our website.
Yeah, www.spoor.com. And we've got offices in Cape Town and in Johannesburg and in Centurion. So, but wherever you are, we'll make a plan, definitely.
I think it's vital. I think it really is. Judy's saying that was very interesting. Thank you, Salome, for coming in and chatting. And thank you, John.
Always a pleasure.
Guys, thank you very much. I kind of get a bit upset that this is only once a month, you know what I mean? Because there's so much that can be unpacked, and so much that people are being educated by. Because this is an aspect, everybody knows the law. Everybody knows that, you know, if somebody punches me in the face, I can lay a charge or whatever the case may be. But this is an aspect of law that is almost, it's vital, but it is almost under the radar as far as everyday discussion goes.
Yeah.
And there are people out there starting small business, or they've got this, they've got that, or they develop a look and feel on their website and somebody copies that. So these things need to be protected, because you never know what the future is going to hold. And it is only 10 years, so you've got that protection for 10 years. If you don't go on after 10 years, you just don't renew, and there you go.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. I think it's a no-brainer, and I certainly think that we probably will be speaking to you at some point in time about getting that done. Thank you for coming in. I certainly hope it won't be the last time and that we can unpack this in greater depth, but he's the man driving the agenda. John, thank you so much for what you do for us, and also for bringing this feature to Zone Radio. It's truly, truly appreciated.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Unicorn.
The IP Zone was brought to you by Spoor & Fisher, because every pioneer needs a partner. Visit spoor.com.
You are a leader, a visionary. You embrace technology to develop cutting-edge solutions. You are original and innovative. You imagine. Trailblazing is often a lonely path, but we see the extraordinary in what you do. When it comes to understanding and protecting your intellectual property, your journey is our journey. Visit our website at spoor.com and discover how we can protect what is uniquely yours. Spoor & Fisher. Create it. Own it.